And we're holding on your Dalet Amud Beis, a little bit above the middle of the Amud. And we're in the middle of discussing the question, given that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued in our Mishnah about Tzoras Erva and in many other places throughout Shas, did Beis Shammai actually follow their opinions in practice or not? We talked about the idea of loitz goydidu, that you're not supposed to have different cliques or different factions applying halacha differently. So, okay, Rava had said it only applies when there's one based in one city where some of them passed in one way and some the other way. But still, if we say not like that, if we say like Abaya in particular, that it's even when there are two Bate Dinim in one city, then we have to figure out, given that Beis Hillel was the majority, did Beis Shammai in fact follow their opinion? And we said yesterday, in fact, the question could be before the Baskel came out and said the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is the majority, but Beis Shammai is sharper. So maybe Achir Rabban Lahatis doesn't apply in that case. And after the Baskel, maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold that a Baskel is dispositive for anything of that, unlike what we said the other Chachamim would say, unlike Rabbi Yeshua, would say that a Baskel at least tells you when you already know the halacha should be a certain way, for example, that it should be like this Hillel, because they're the majority, then a Baskel can confirm it. Maybe Beis Shammai doesn't even agree with that concept. Anyway, so we're still in the middle of discussing then whether Beis Shammai actually followed their opinion in practice at all. So Toshma, Afa Pishin Nechlechu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel B'tzorais. Now, even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued about Tzoros as in our Mishnah, and in a number of other cases involving marriage, Uva Achoyos, they also argued about a case involving sisters married to brothers, which is a case that we touched on it briefly the other day on Tetzum and Beis, but the situation is where you have two sisters married to two brothers, and then you have other brothers as well. So if the two brothers married to the sisters die, then each of the other brothers, the Yavamas, are both they're his zikuka. They have zika to him, but they're also achos zikuka, say, because each one is the sister of the other. And Beis Hillel says that they can't do. Beis Hillel says that on a derabanan level they can't do yibum; they have to do chalitza. Whereas Beis Shammai disagrees. And would say that there's no problem of a chos chalutzos of a chos zekokasei at all, and they could do yibum with them. Another case. Now that particular one is Dirabanan, so it wouldn't involve kores anyway, which is what we're going to be discussing over here in the Gemara. It doesn't involve kores or even a lav, but still the Gemara is bringing it as one of the braisa is bringing it as one of the various areas in which they argued. Another one, beget yoshan. Another one they argued is a case called get yoshan, where a husband gives his wife a get, and then they stay overnight in a hotel the following night. So do we consider that maybe he was Makadosh or Bebia again, and therefore the get is possible? So actually what we do, sorry, to get yoshan, well, so that's how Rashi explains. There is the point, though. The Gemara is going to the Gemara the Braisa is going to mention that case of Megarshes Ishta V'lona Ima B'Pundak pretty soon. Two things later. So then, what is this one? But the Get Yoshin is basically some case where after the Get there was Yichud again. The issue is that did Rabbanan Beis Hillel says you shouldn't use such a Get because Shemayim Rugita Kodem Livna. You might have that people are if they do end up having relations and she becomes pregnant, then people are gonna talk about them. That look at that, she got divorced and only now is she now it turns up she's pregnant. So they obviously had relations outside of marriage. So there's a machlokas about that. Or with suffolk aishas ish, another one they argue about is a suffolk aishas ish, which there's two possibilities what that means. One Rashi explains that one meaning of suffix would be where for example, when we learn in the Perek of Ar Masechta that talks about the dinim of miun, then you're going to have where a girl below bas mitzvah was married off by her brother or her mother or whatever can be mamayin. So Beis Shammai holds that they can only do miyun from the erusin, not from the nisuin, and Beis Hillel disagrees. So that would be Rashi's first explanation, is that that's called Suffolk Eishes Ish, not in the sense that we don't know right now whether she's an Eishes Ish, but at any time she could do miyun. So therefore, it's like it's constantly a Suffolk whether her marriage is going to last. So they argue about the details of that. Rashi's second explanation is Suffolk Eishes Ish is where a shchiv mera, where a man who's deathly ill writes a get to his wife and says that this get should take effect as of today if I end up dying of the sickness. So what happens during the time from when he writes the get until he actually dies? So she's a Suffolk Eishes Ish, which in fact, according to Rashi, is what was the situation with Uriah and Bathsheba, where according to Rashi, Uriah wrote out a get al tanai like that. And the question is, what's her status during that time? Anyway, so Rashi says, we don't actually find that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about that case. However, since they argue about the case of that we're going to discuss next, Hamagarishas Ishta, the Lona Imba Bepundak, where he divorces his wife and then they stay overnight in an inn together, where there's a concern that they may have been, that if they were in Yichud, then that amounts to the same Edom who saw them in Yichud, in effect, have also seen them doing Bia, and therefore they're back to being husband and wife again. So necessarily, therefore, Rashi says they must be arguing about the case of where he divorces his wife, but al tanai, that should only take effect after his death. Because Rashi says it's fundamentally the same thing. So now that's what Tosfos asks, that the Gemara is now going to mention that the Braisa is going to mention that particular case, Megarishas Ishta, the one Imam Bepundaki. So therefore Tosfos prefers Rashi's first explanation that it means Suffolk Eishes Ish means that they're arguing about a case of meal. Anyway, so they argue about that. Of Megarishas Ishta, the one Imam Bepundak, also the case again where he gives his wife a get and then they stay overnight in an inn together. Are we concerned that they had relations again? And then it would mean the get is bottle. Or do we say, and therefore we wouldn't say that he did that. They argue when a man is giving kedushin to a woman, how much money or how much shava kesef, how much of something that has monetary value do you need? Where the pruta of a shava pruta, where Beis Hillel says a pruta is enough, and Beis Shammai says you need a dinner. So even though you have all these cases where they argue in Hilchos Ishus, Nevertheless, Beis Shammai did not avoid marrying women from Beis Hillel. V'loy Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. V'lamdecha, this teaches you that they had friendship and amity one between the other. They were peaceful and friendly with each other, even though they argued in halacha. This fulfills what it says in the pasuk: Emes and Shalom loved each other. So in other words, the idea is that even though they argued, they recognized that each other's opinion is part of the MS of Torah, is part of Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim, and therefore they didn't allow that to affect their friendship. So now let's consider. Now, and the Braisa finishes off, Reb Shimon Omer Nimnu Hein Min Avadai V'Lo Nimnu Min HaSofet. Reb Shimon says they would avoid marrying women who there's Vadai a problem, but not the ones where there's Sofet a problem. So Rashi explains, Suffolk would mean, for example, the case of where they stayed overnight in an inn together after the get was given, where Beis Shammai, we're saying Beis Shammai would hold that there's not a problem, she doesn't need another get, whereas Beis Hillel would say that the Edim that saw them in Yichud are also in effect the same Edim that saw them having Bia, and therefore she wouldn't need a new get. So Shimon is saying that they would avoid the Vadai, but not, for example, they wouldn't worry about a case of Suffolk like that, where it's only a Suffolk. The Ramban explains differently. He says Suffolk just means, for example, the Suffolk Kiddushin. Anyway, so let's analyze. E Amit Shlema Osu, if you say indeed that the Shammai did what that they actually followed their piske halacha in practice, mishum hochi nimnu, that is why Reb Shimon would be saying that they have to stay away from the Vadai. Because, for example, you have, let's say, that Beis Hillel would say that it's enough. Beis Hillel would say that a pruta is enough for kiddushin, so that makes her an eishes ish. In particular, then, so it means she's an eishes ish. It means she's an eishes ish. But there's also, for example, that let's say now she accepts kiddushin from another man. According to Beis Hillel, that kiddushin is ineffective. According to Beis Shammai, that second kiddushin would be effective. So if you say that Beis Shammai was actually following their opinions in practice, then that's why Reb Shimon is saying that nimnu min avadai, they would stay away from the women where they know that there's vadai a problem according to their opinion. Ela yamet loy also amay nimnu. But if anyway they're not following their opinions in halacha in practice, then why would they need to stay away from the vadai anyway? In practice, they would be following this Hillel's opinions anyway. It's only theoretically are they saying that it should be different. And in fact, Tosfos points out that since the Braisa mentioned Tzoreis first, the implication is that the main thing they're arguing about is Tzoreis. And so if you, in other words, the case of Tzoras Erva, of our Mishnah and our Gemara. So if you say that Beis Shammai never followed their opinion in practice anyway, then okay, or the other way around, if you say that they did follow their opinion in practice, then we understand. Look, Beis Hillel is saying that these women do not need Yibum because they're Tzoras Erva, therefore they can marry anybody. Beis Shammai is going to stay away from that because they don't want to be over on an Isur Lav or on what would be, according to their opinion, an Isur Lav. But if anyway Beis Shammai is not following their own opinion, then why do they have to stay away from anybody? Beis Hillel is allowing these women to marry, and Beis Shammai would also, in practice, say that they can marry. So the Gemara says, "V'tispera." How can you think that this braisa is correct? Nihi nami de'osu. Even if you say they did follow their own opinion, v'shlema Beis Hillel nimnu Beis Shammai. So you would understand why is Beis Hillel not freely marrying women from Beis Shammai when there's a vadai, as Reb Shimon says. Is the chayvik krisis nimnu mamzer lehem Beis Hillel? Because after all, Beis Shammai is going to be allowing these tzoreis to do yibum. According to Beis Hillel, what they're doing is an isur kares, and their children are mamzerim. So naturally, Beis Hillel would have to stay away from marrying these women themselves or their children because the women themselves actually would be only an isur lav, but their children already would be an isur kares because their children already would be an isur kares because they were born from something that according to Beis Hillel is an erva. But why would they, even if Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, why would they have to stay away from children of marriages that were done according to Beis Hillel? After all, such children, maximum then, all that's happened is the Yevama married Lashuk, the Yevama married somebody outside the family without Chalitza or Yibum, where Beis Shammai says they need Chalitza or Yibum to do that. So without that, they're over on a lab. Fine, the children are born from a lab, that doesn't make them amzeirim, they're still kosher. So even if also Beis Shammai would have no particular reason to avoid the vadai, and Reb Shimon is saying that they did. So evidently it seems there's a mistake in the braisa. The Gemara says no, there is a reason, even if they are chai v'lavin, because omer of Nachman Yitzchok l'nitzuch ha'el tzora atma, because like Reb Nachman Yitzchok says later in the sugya, that the chiddush is even as far as the tzora herself. That when we say nimnoim, that Reb Shimon says that they would stay away from the vadai, means the tzara herself, if she wants to marry somebody from Beis Shammai, then if we say Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, they would not want to marry her because they don't want to be over on a lot. So hochanami lenitzucha lo tzara atzma. That's what it means. It's not that Beis Shammai would stay away, according to Reb Shimon, who's saying nimnoim in a vadai, doesn't mean that they would avoid marrying children of such marriages, where the Yavama went and married somebody from outside the family without chalitza or yibum. Because fine, such children, they're only also on it. Their parentage comes only from their parentage is from Issur Lav, and fine, that doesn't make them amzeirim, they're still trading. But the tzara herself, the Beis Shammai would not want to marry her because they'd say, if we do, we're over on an Issur Lav, according to our opinion, because we hold she needs yibum or chalitza. Okay, so then the question is, okay, well, in that case, then, if you're understanding vadai and sofet referring to the tzora herself, well, then, why is it they'd stay away from marrying one who was a vadai tzora, where, after all, there's an issur, fine, it's not an issur kodesh, but it's still a lav. Or no, actually, this is really, Tosfos says this next point that the Gemara is going to make is not directly a continuation of the previous discussion. Fine, we've established that that's what it means. In other words, they wouldn't want to marry the Tsara herself. But now, in general, now we're going back to the Braisa. Why would the Braisa be saying that there would be a difference in that regard between Vaday and Sofet? Why would they avoid marrying the Vaday? Because they don't want to be over on an Issur, even if it's only an Issur lab, Sofek Nami Issurahu. No, and if there's a Sofek, then you have the same problem. You also have a Sofek Issur, and a Sofek Issur Dardaisa, after all. Or not even in the case of the Yavama, in the case of some of the other cases that we mentioned before, which are, for example, Pruta and Shava Pruta versus Dinner and Shava Dinner. So if it's a Sofek, whether she was Niskadish with a Pruta or with a Dinner, and then she accepted Kedushin from somebody else, and there's a suffix whether those kedushin are valid or not, you have the same problem. Then it's still a suffix issue. Why would Bishamai be allowing themselves to marry, if we say that also, why would they be allowing themselves to marry a suffix more than a vadai? And the answer is loitema mina suffix ela ema mina stam. You have to actually correct it. The word is not that they would avoid mina suffix, but rather, yeah, the wording in the braise is supposed to be that they would avoid the stam. So minas sofik would mean here. Rashi says, for example, minas sofik would mean, for example, the cases that we mentioned before that are only because of sofik. For example, where he gave her a get and then they stayed overnight in an inn, and it's a sofik whether they had relations or not, which would then invalidate the get. So after all, there's a sofik whether she's an aishas ish or not. So the answer is, we're saying not sofik, but rather the word is supposed to be stam. When Bes Shammai or when the other group would not tell them anything, then they could assume by default that this woman is kosher, according to their opinion as well, with no problem, and they could marry her. So that's what Reb Shimon is saying. They would stay away from the stam. And so Reb Shimon is saying that they would stay away from the vadai, meaning if they told vadai now would mean, not like we thought before, vadai means if they know for sure that she's osur, and suffix would mean if we're not sure whether she's osur. Rather, now we're saying that vadai would mean when they inform them. For example, they inform them, you should know that this child, according to your opinion in halacha, is a mamzer. And stam rather than suffix would mean when they didn't tell them where the point was. If they didn't tell them, then they know there's nothing to worry about, because if there was anything wrong, they would have told them. So demodi the whole parashi, because that's what they would do. They would inform them so that they would stay away. If Bes Shammai is going to marry if Bes Hillel rather is going to marry a girl from Bes Shammai, and the situation was that her mother had been a Yavama who did Yibum, which is according to Bes Shammai, whereas according to Bes Hillel she was also to do Yibum because of Tzaras Erva, then Bes Shammai would inform Bes Hillel, you should know that according to your opinion in halacha, this girl is a mamzer, so don't have your son marry her, or vice versa. This boy is a mamzer, so don't have your daughter marry her. But if they didn't inform them, then there would be nothing. Then they'd know there's nothing to worry about. Which the Ritva points out, by the way, it's not as though they were required by halacha to do that, because after all, you're not allowed to give somebody a thing of Isser, but if they're taking it by themselves and you in fact hold that such a thing is mutter, you're not obligated la halacha to inform them. But nevertheless, as we're saying, and therefore they would do that, they would go to Pnim Meshur Sadeh. So that's what Gemara says, or my kamash malam, the Abba Vareus Nergim Zebaz. So is that what the Braisa is telling us? That the point is that they had this Abba Vareus and they went beyond what was required of Yalocha and would inform them even though they didn't have to. Hainu Resha. Isn't that saying the same thing as the Resha? Which is that nevertheless, Chibu Vareus Nergim Zebaz. So if we say that the Braisa is saying Vadai versus Sopik, then Reb Shimon is saying something different than the Tanakama. He's saying it's not necessarily a matter of chibur v'reus. They would be careful when they know for a fact that there's an issue according to their opinion in halacha, but they wouldn't worry about when there's only a suffix. But now we're saying vadeh and stam, in Reb Shimon's opinion, means vadeh when they inform them, Stam is when they don't inform them, and the point is then they know they don't have to worry because abba v'reus, negiz dem zeh, hain reisha, then that's just repeating what it says in the reisha. And the answer is hokamash malon dekula Reb Shimon. The Braisa wants you to know that the whole thing is a statement of Reb Shimon. It's not that you have the Tanakama and then Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is the author of this entire Braisa, and he's explaining that in all these cases of Tzoris and Achoyos and so on and so forth, Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel would go the extra mile, and even though they're not required to al pi halacha, they would inform the other party of the facts, and therefore, and then say, well, now it's now according to your opinion in halacha, that creates a problem over here. So therefore, I'm laying all the facts out for you. So therefore, you can make your own decision. And then, if, on the other hand, if they don't, then they knew they could trust that there's no problem, because otherwise they would have told them. So we can't prove one way or the other from this whole discussion whether in fact Bes Shammai held according to their opinion in practice, because we're saying that each group always made sure to inform the other. So what happened then we don't necessarily know. So Toshma, let's try to prove from another thing. A Braisa says the Amar of Yechonan Nui, Heach Halachazu Revachas V'Yisrael. How should we make this halacha acceptable according to all Jews? Nasikidu, this question of Tzoras of Tzoras Erva. Nasikidivi Bes Shammai. Should we follow Bes Shammai and say that they always need Yibum? Havlad Mamzel, the Divi Bes Hillel. Well, the problem is, according to Bes Hillel, any children born from that will be Mamzerim. And we don't want that. Nasikidivi Bes Hillel. Should we do like Bes Hillel and say that they're Potter from Chalitza and from Yibum? Havlad Pogam, the Divi Bes Shammai. Fine, according to Bes Shammai, the children are not going to be mamzerim. They're not going to be posel love of a kohol because it was only an isur lav. However, they are going to be pogum. There is going to be a defect in them. Namely, Rashi says that if the child was if the father and therefore the child was a kohen, then the child would actually be posel the kohona. He would be considered a cholo. Further on in the sugya on Pesvav Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss why that should be so. So Rabbi Yechonan Nuri is saying, one way or the other, if you try to establish the halacha like either Bes Shammai or like Bes Hillel, you're going to have a problem. Therefore, Rabbi Yechonan Nuri proposes, let's make a takona on behalf of these tzores, that they should always do chalitza and not do yibum, and that way we're covered on all bases. That way, if they needed chalitza, then chalitza is taken care of. Now they can marry anybody they want. And if they didn't need chalitza, fine. So the chalitza didn't accomplish anything, but still, then they're still allowed, according to the Hillel, to marry anybody they want. So that way we'll cover all our bases. And the Braisa continues, Lo yispiku ligmaras hadavar. They did not have a chance to finish off the matter and decide whether to do this takana. Ad shenitir fasha, before the time became confused, meaning that something went wrong and the Chachamim were not able to assemble together in order to decide on this. One possibility of the nitir fasha, Doris Hirishonim explained that it may have been that the Romans started persecuting them. He explains that all of this happened after the story of after the Chachamim had been in Yavne and in the yeshiva in Yavne for quite a few years, and after the whole story of Boi Bayoim, when Rav Gamliel was deposed and Rav Elazar ben Azariah was appointed instead, and then eventually Rav Gamliel was reinstated. So he says that eventually the Romans got wind of what's going on and they started persecuting the Chachamim and forcing them to leave Yavne, and that was this nitcher fasha. They never had a chance to assemble in order to discuss the pros and cons of this and make this takana or not make it. And the Gemara and the Braisa continues. Omalei Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says to Rav Yechonan Nuri, I don't like your idea because ma nasa lahem l'tzores harishonis ma'ata. According to your proposal, what would we do with the original tzores? If you have tzores who followed Bes Shammai and did Yibum, if you're going to say that we should make a takana that they shouldn't do Yibum, they should do Chalitza, then it comes out retroactively. You're making what they did an Isur Kares and you're making their children Mamzerim. So therefore, so it's not such a good idea. Now let's analyze. E amit b'shleima osu. If you say that Bes Shammai followed their opinion in practice, then it means you have such cases of women who did yibum according to Bes Shammai. And now Rabbi Yechonan Nuri and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are concerned what to do about them. Eli amit z'hainu dekama lo nas manasa. That's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, according to your proposal, that you're going to say yibum should be also in such cases. And only chalitza can be done. Then you're making the children mamzerim. Ela i'amit loy osu. But if you say Bes Shammai never followed their opinion in practice anyway, then there's actually no such case of a woman who did yibum in such a case. My manasseh. So what is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel concerned about?
Why are you saying the children, if you do chalitza, the children are mamzerim?
If you do chalitza, if you say that from that, if you say that you can't do yibum, then it means anybody who did yibum was doing an isur erva. You're saying they're only doing chalitza to be on the safe side in case she does need chalitza. But you're saying primarily the halacha is according to Beis Hillel with Rabbi Yechim and Nuri's Takana. You're saying primarily the halacha is like Beis Hillel that you can't do yibum because it would be an erva. Well, then in effect, you're saying that anybody who did yibum up until now has children who are mamzerim, and you don't want to do that. So, but again, if you say that the Shammai never followed their own opinion in practice, then what's the problem? And the answer is, Omer of Nachman Yitzchok, L'n Yitzchok Elul Tzora Atzma. Yes, but what we're talking about is the Tzora herself. In other words, the problem is not only about the Tzora's Erva, the problem is not only about the Tzora's Erva and her children, the problem is that this Hillel is saying that these women, because the Tzora can marry anybody they want. And now, fine, the children, even according to Beis Shammai, will be kosher. We said the only pogrom. However, the problem is that the problem is, are you allowed to, is the tzara herself allowed to get married, or is she oivran and isur lav? So Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that you're gonna make it that if you say that you have to do chalitza or not yibum. And not Yibum, then what you're saying, Fakir, you're saying that Beis Shammai has a certain valid point, she would have needed Yibum. Instead, she went and married somebody else without that. It means that now you're saying that she was over on an Isur Lav. When he says Manasseh, he means like this. Hanach Tzores to Beis Hillel, the women who are going to Beis Hillel, because they're Tzores, are potter from Yibum. Lebes Shammai Hechi Nevet Lahu, according to your proposal, what should we do to make everything, to fix up everything according to Beis Shammai? Lichaltu, should we say that they should do chalitza now? And okay, what's done is done, but at least if for the future there'll be chalutzas and they won't be over on the Isur Lav from now on. Or maybe it can even mean they haven't yet gotten married, but we're gonna say before they get married, let them do chalitza to be on the safe side, which will cover them according to Beis Shammai. The problem is Mimasiya Gabrayhu. The problem is they're gonna become repulsive to their husbands. Because the husband doesn't particularly like that his wife is just having to do chalitza. If she has to do chalitza, if she's required al pi Torah to do chalitza, then fine, he'll live with it. But like this, where she's doing chalitza, which in a way that according to him seems unnecessary, then she's going to be less attractive to him. The chitema limasan, so he might say big deal. What do we care about that? We know that the Torah's ways are ways of pleasantness and all its paths are peace. We don't want that there should be a case that we're going to have to make her do chalitza where it might be for no reason. And then she's going to be less attractive in her husband's eyes. So we don't want that. It's one thing now. We're going to talk about throughout the Masechta. We're going to have cases where a woman has to do chalitza because of a suffix. But there, it's a suffix about the actual circumstances. Here we're talking about a suffix who the halacha is like. Well, Beis Hillel is very likely to say, look, we know the halacha is she doesn't even require chalitza. She's tzaras erva. So therefore, so what is she doing chalitza? Then he finds that something unappealing to him. So therefore, you could say, even if Beis Shammai never followed their opinion in practice, but just the fact that now we're going to say that from now on, we're up until now, they wouldn't even have to do chalitza. And from now on, according to Rabbi Yechim and Nuri's Takana, they're going to have to do chalitza. And Beis Hillel is going to say, look, we never required that until now. According to our opinion, she doesn't need chalitza at all. So now he's going to feel less attracted to his wife, knowing that she went through chalitza. So we can't prove one way or the other from that whether Beis Shammai followed their opinion or not. Okay, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. De Omer of Tarfin, Te'evani, Reb Tarfin says, I am eager, Mosai Tovet, Soras Abbas, the Yodi, when will I have a situation of Soras Abbas, the Esa'ena, and I will marry her. Now Rashi explains, first of all, Rashi explains that Reb Tarfin was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. So therefore, we're assuming that he wants to follow Beis Shammai's opinion. So he's saying, halavai, that I would have a situation of Tzaras Abbas where I have a brother who's married to a daughter of mine, and he's also married to another wife. Halavai, that there should be a situation of Tzaras Abbas, and I will marry her, which seems to show that he wants to act according to Beis Shammai, showing that Beis Shammai actually followed their opinion in practice. And the And the answer is Ema v'asiena. Okay, no, the wording is a little bit off. He didn't say v'asiena, I want to marry her, which would be according to Beis Shammai, but rather v'asiena, I want to marry her off to somebody else, which would be like Beis Hillel. So that may show just the opposite, that even though he's a Talmud of Beis Shammai, he's still in practice following Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, v'hotei vani kama. What do you mean? He's saying, I wish I had the opportunity to do that. If all of Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel in practice anyway, then there's no chiddush in him saying that he wants to do that, because all of Beis Shammai would do that in practice. And the answer is lapukim midi Rabbi Yechim Nanuri. That would be, he's just saying that to say against Rabbi Yechim Nanuri, where Rabbi Yechim Nanuri is proposing that they should do chalitza, and Rabbi Tarfon says, I'll have none of that. Even at the Talmud of Beis Shammai, in practice, I follow Beis Hillel, and I would say she'd be allowed to marry even without chalitza. So there's no proof from that one way or the other. Maybe he means that I want to marry her myself. Maybe he means I want to marry her off to others. So you don't have a proof one way or the other. Tosfos Yeshanim actually discusses that in that case, then really, what's the chiddush? Then really, what's the chiddush? If he wants to say that he's going to follow like Beis Hillel, if he's going to follow Beis Hillel, of course, we're saying the halacha eventually was decided like Beis Hillel, and we're discussing that maybe even before that, the Shammai would follow Beis Hillel. So what exactly would be the chiddush and what Reb Tarfon is saying? So actually, Tosfos Yeshanim has the gusa the other way around. He says va'asiena, and rather the Gemara changes it to v'esa'ena, and then when he says te'ivani, on the contrary, so why is he so eager to do that? What the word te'ivani implies, I'm not able to do that, but I wish I was able to do that. Well, why? He wants to follow his Rebbe. And then the answer is not, and the answer is because he's saying not like Rabbi Yechim Manuri. The Tosfos Rosh points out another point in this as well. I mean, is Reb Tarfon saying he wants his brother to die in order to have a chance to do Yibum with his tzara, or to have his tzara married off to somebody else? That doesn't seem a right thing to ask for that. So rather, he says, Tosfos Rosh says, he doesn't mean his own brother. He means halavai, there would be a case someplace out in the rest of the world of tzara sabas, and I would have a chance to marry her myself, demonstrating that therefore I actually hold like this Shammai in practice. And the Gemara is saying not necessarily, he may mean va'asiyana, that I want to marry her off to somebody else, showing that in practice we follow Beis Hillel. But he's not talking about necessarily, unlike Rashi, he's not necessarily talking about his own brother, he's talking about a tzoras habas from somebody else. On the other hand, the Oruch Laner says, look, I mean, you know, when you get down to it, if Reb Tarfon has a brother, eventually one of them is going to have to pass away first of necessity. Either Reb Tarfon dies first or his brother dies first. So therefore, Reb Tarfon may well be saying, says the Oruch Haner, look, if one of us eventually has to go before the other, at least halavai, it should be in that way where I have the chance to demonstrate to everybody what the halacha is. Okay, so again, no proof one way or the other from that. Toshma, another proof. It happened with the daughter of Rav Gamliel. So it's in the Suala Abba Achiv. She was married to Rav Gamliel's brother Abba, who mess below Bonim. Abba passed away without children. The Yibim, Rav Gamliel, Tzarasa, and Rav Gamliel actually did Yibim with her Tzara. Now, this is a case of Tzaras Erva, because it was his daughter that was married to his brother. So you see that you actually follow Beis Shammai in practice. How could you think that that's what it means? Rav Gamliel mitamidim Beis Shammai. Who is Rav Gamliel? One of the tamidim of Beis Shammai. He's a grandson of Hillel. He belongs to Beis Hillel. So anyway, then either way, he's not following Beis Shammai's opinion. Ella, so it has to be, there was a special case over here. Shiny bitters. Rav Gamliel died loinus haboy. Rav Gamliel's daughter. The situation was an ilonis, and we already learned in the first Mishnah of Or Masechta that if the erva turns out to be an ilonis, then we say she's out of the picture, because an ilonis is not subject to yibum or chalitza, and therefore her tzara is not considered the tzara of an erva. So even though she was the tzara of Rav Gamliel's daughter, we don't consider the daughter to be in the picture at all because she was an ilonis. Therefore, the tzara is a regular case of yibum, and so Rav Gamliel did yibum with her. The Braisa continues that Acherim say that the situation was that this daughter was an ilonis. We call the Tanakama Sava Lav ilonis Soisa, implying that the Tanakama holds that she was not. So how do you understand it then? Wouldn't that mean that Rav Gamliel is following Beis Shammai, which, okay, it would mean that Beis Shammai is following their own opinion and practice, but what's Rav Gamliel doing following Beis Shammai? And the answer is Hikubo, but Hikubo, it could be neither. The answer is that the argument between the Tanakhama and Achirim is not over the fact of whether she was an Ilonis or not. They both agree she was an Ilonis, but did her husband recognize that she was an Ilonis before he married her? We talked about that idea the other day on Dr. Bayes, that if he didn't know at the time he married her that she was an Ilonis, then it's a Mechachtos, then the marriage never took effect, as opposed to if he knew already when he married her that she's an Ilonis, then that would be different. Then it would be considered a valid marriage, and her tzara is the tzara of an erva. So therefore, the Tanakhama would be saying that only if loy hikirba, only if when this brother Abba married Rav Gamliel's daughter, he did not know that she's an Ilonis, then it's a mekachtos. So therefore, Rav Gamliel can do yibum with her tzara. But had he been hikirba, then tzara would in fact be osur. The Acherim say it doesn't matter either way. Either the Acherim use the expression bita shem Gamliel Ilonis hoisa, and we said the other day in the Gemara that the word hoisa implies that all along she was known to be an Ilonis, and nevertheless he married her. So according to Acherim, that still the Ilonis is still out of the picture as far as Yibum and Chalitza, and therefore her tzara is not a tzaras erva, but rather a regular case of Yibum, and therefore Rav Gamliel did Yibum. So no proof from that, one way or the other. Another possibility is, what happens if the brother married this other woman and then he divorced the Ilonis? We don't have to say that she was an Ilonis. We could say that she was a regular woman. The Tanakhama would say that, Acherim say that she was an Ilonis, but we could say as follows, that the Tanakhama would say that this brother Abba had divorced Rav Gamliel's daughter sometime before he died. So therefore, even though at some point this tzara was the tzara of an erva, it wouldn't matter because by the time he died, he had already divorced the erva. Whereas Acherim would say that, no, it doesn't work that way. Even if he divorced her beforehand, the very fact that at some point they were tzaras would make her osir, and therefore it requires us to say Acherim, that the daughter of Rav Gamliel was an Ilonis, otherwise the tzara would in fact be osir according to this era. A third possibility is they're arguing over the question of whether it's possible for there to be a tnai in the bia. Namely, you can have a man marries a woman, al tnai that she doesn't have certain physical defects or that she doesn't have outstanding nidorim, and then it turns out that she does. The Tanakhama would say that, well, it's a mekachtos. If it turns out afterwards that she has mumin or she has a nidorim, then it's a mekachtos and the marriage never takes effect. So therefore, the situation was, this Abba, the brother of Rav Gamliel, had made such a tnai. It turned out that the tnai wasn't true. Therefore, the daughter of Rav Gamliel is not considered his wife, and therefore the tzara is not the tzara of an era. Whereas Acherim would say that, no, you can't make a tnai when it comes to bia, because we assume that once he does bia with her, we assume that he's mevatel his tnai. He's saying, even though to begin with, when I did kedushin with her, I intended to only if she doesn't have mumin or nedarim. But by now that I'm coming to the point of bia, I don't care one way or the other. Look, einodim osa bilasa bilas snus. He doesn't want to have relations with her with snus. He would rather do it in a kosher way. So therefore, he's implicitly mevatel with tonight, and therefore it would be a fully valid marriage. And therefore, the only way to say that not would be if she was an ilonis, and then we would say that an ilonis is out of the picture as far as chalitza and yibum. So for all those possibilities, it's not necessarily that Rav Gamliel is following this Shammai's opinion in practice. And anyway, Rav Gamliel, being from the family of Hillel, wouldn't be expected to follow this Shammai in practice, but rather was saying that because of one or another of these circumstances, it was a special case, and therefore, even according to this Hillel, what he did would have been fine. By the way, there is a Mishnah in Beitza that says that Rav Gamliel was machmir in a few things like this Shammai. However, over here, it's not a matter of chumrah because you can't be machmir in something that, according to Beis Hillel, would be also daraisa. And therefore, we have to say that even according to Beis Hillel, what he did was valid. Masiv Rav Masharshia. So Rav Masharshia says, I have another contradiction. I have another example. Where we see on the face of it that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion in practical halacha. Maisa b'Rav Akiva shalikit esrog b'echad b'shvat. Rav Akiva one time picked an esrog on Aleph Shvat. And now Beis Shammai holds that Aleph Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Leilonis, and Beis Hillel holds Tesvav Shvat. Now this Rosh Chodesh Shvat was at the end of the second year of the Shemitah cycle, going into the third year. So as Esrogim, unlike most other fruits, Esrogim, like we learned about this in Rosh Hashanah extensively, Esrogim, like vegetables, go according to when they're picked. The time when they're picked determines what year they belong to as far as Meiser, whether you give Meiser Sheni or Meiser Oni. In this case, he picked it on Aleph Shvat. It was the second year going into the third year. And V'nog Boy Beis Isurin. And he did two Meisers from that Esrog. Echad Kediv Beis Shammai ve'echad Kediv Beis Hillel. One according to Beis Shammai, because according to Beis Shammai, it's already the new year for trees. So therefore, it's already the third year, and he has to give Maisa Oni from it. And another one according to Beis Hillel, that he gave Maisa Sheni, because according to Beis Hillel, it's still 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah Leila. Now, how did he actually do it? Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi. To be exact, what he did is he separated Maaser Sheni. Then he redeemed the Maaser Sheni so that it could be eaten anywhere. He gave that Maaser Sheni to the poor people as Maaser Ani, and he took the money and brought it to Yerushalayim and bought food with it. So Shmamina Asu. So that goes to show that the Shammai obviously followed their opinion and practice in Halacha, and therefore Rabbi Akiva is doing that as well. The answer is no. The situation there was Rabbi Akiva Gemara istafikle. Rabbi Akiva had a suffix in what he had learned. He didn't know whether Beis Hillel were the ones who said Aleph Shvat or whether Beis Shammai were. So therefore, to be on the safe side, he had to do two Isurim. But not because he was intending to follow Beis Shammai at all, but because he wasn't sure what Beis Hillel had said. In fact, in a different Gemara, the Gemara says that after all, Tosfos brings over here that, you're not allowed to follow the Chumras of Beis Shammai and of Beis Hillel, where they contradict each other. So here, the answer would be the same thing, that it's not that he's trying to follow the chumras of both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, it's just he wasn't sure what Beis Hillel's opinion was. So you can't prove one way or the other from that. Okay, Mosiv Mazutra. Mazutra says here, I have a contradiction on the opinion that says that Beis Shammai didn't follow their own opinion in practice. The Mishnah says in Sukkah, Maisa v'yolda kaloseh shel Shammai HaZaken, one time Shammai HaZaken's daughter gave birth during Sukkot, u'pichas ha'samaziva, and Shammai held that they have to be under a sukkah, so he broke open the plaster on the ceiling, v'sikah chagabi mita, and he put tzchach on the ceiling above the bed, v'shvil katan, because of the child, because Shammai held that even a child who's still of the age when he needs his mother, as in this case, the child was just newly born, nevertheless, Shammai holds his chayv in sukkah, and we see he actually broke open the roof and put tzchach over there. So that means that Beis Shammai actually followed the Shmamina Osu. That shows that he actually followed his opinion in practice. By the way, the Maharshal has a different explanation. He says, come on, I mean, even Shammai can't say that a newborn baby should be chayv in sukkah. He's not even of the age of chinuch yet. So rather, the Maharshal says what it means is, besides for this newborn baby, Shammai's daughter-in-law had another child and another son who's a few years older, but still tzorech le'ima. So he's maybe 3-4 years old, and he's still tzorech le'ima. He's still around his mother constantly, and Shammai held a child of that age is chayv in sukkah. So therefore, he broke open the plaster, etc., for him. In any case, the point is that we see that Shammai followed his opinion in practice, and then Shammai is part of Beis Shammai. The answer is that's not a proof, because if people see Shammai doing that, it doesn't necessarily demonstrate that he's doing it because of the mitzvah of sukkah. He may be doing it in order to get more fresh air in, so there, and you could use that sort of as an excuse, so it still doesn't look like loitis goydidu. The whole problem why we're saying why Beis Shammai might not be following their opinion in practice is because of loitis goydidu. But when there's a reasonable possibility that he's doing it for some other reason, then that's not an issue. And in this case, it's a reasonable possibility that he's doing it because he wants more fresh air in the room. Okay, Mosiv Mazutra. So Mazutra says here, I have a contradiction where to those who say that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion, it happened with the trough of Yehu that was located in Yerushalayim. So a trough is, Rashi described, Eben Chalula is a hollow stone. So it's a hollowed out stone, Shetachas Tzinor HaMkaleach Mayim Minahor, that's under a pipe that brings down water from the mountains. And then, and it was called the trough of Yehu, because maybe, I guess, the guy who built it was named Yehu. Anyway, the point is, so this trough has water coming into it from the mountains, which would, and it's coming through a pipe. It would be a kosher mikveh, except for the fact that it's not large enough. There was a hole between this trough and a mikveh that was next to it, a mikveh of 40 sa. So there was a hole between them. So that way, the water blends together, and that we learned about this in Chagiga, and that way it's considered, the whole thing is considered one big mikveh, and therefore you could tovel in the shoykes. All of the taras that were done in Yerushalayim were all done based on this. People would go and tovel their kalim in this trough of Yehu, and because it's connected to the mikveh next to it by a hole of a certain minimum size, shreferes hanoid, as we're going to talk about in a second, then it was kosher, and nobody had a problem with it. But the shocho beis shammai vehu chivua. But beis shammai sent messengers who made the hole bigger. They said it's not enough for it to be shreferes hanoid. It has to be bigger than that for it to be considered one big thing. Shebes shammai imam achit pochas beruba. Because in fact, beis shammai holds that that kind of thing only works only if the hole is the majority of the width of the shoykes. Utsnan, namely, we learn in a Mishnah, also in Mikvois. We learned this in Chagiga as well. Eruv Mikvois kishreferes hanoid, to blend together two Mikvois, to have like this, that the water inside the shoykes should be considered part of the mikveh, you need a hole between them. This is according to Vesivol. Kishreferes hanoid, the size of the tube that you put into a skin bag. So you'd have a skin bag that you use for wine or water or what have you. And you put into the opening of it, you put a reed, or you put a hollow piece of bamboo or something to be able to drink and be able to pour out of. So there's a certain size, there's a certain standard size that these tubes would be. So that would be the size that you need to mix two mikvahs together, including the thickness of it, including the thickness of the walls of the tube, is the size we're talking about. And the inside of the hole has to be the amount of space where you could put in two fingers and move them around and turn them around freely without getting stuck. So that would be, it's two fingers, the index finger and the middle finger. If you put them into the hole and you can rotate them freely, then it's big enough, then that's shreferes hanoid. Now that's going to be Hillel. Beis Shammai was saying needs more, and was saying that Beis Shammai was not satisfied with it being open only because shreferes hanoid. They made it bigger. So we see that Beis Shammai actually followed their opinion in practice. So Shmamina, wouldn't that show that they actually followed their opinion in practice? And again, the Gemara says, "Hosam haroya omer la pushi mayahu dekavid." Again, it's not necessarily that people see that being done. They're going to say, "Look at that! Beis Shammai is following their own opinion against Beis Hillel." It means people are saying, "You know what? Beis Shammai decided that we don't have enough water. We don't have enough water in the trough. We need more. Therefore, we need the hole bigger so that more water from the mikveh will go into it." And no proof one way or the other. It doesn't look like two turtles. Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof. When I was learning Torah by Rabbi Yochanan HaChirani, whereas we're going to say soon he was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, I saw that during a year of famine, he's eating dry bread with salt. Poor guy, doesn't have anything better to eat. Bossi, Vahidaitis Abba. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik says, I went and informed my father, Rabbi Tzadik, we've got to do something for him. So he tells me, bring him some olives so he can at least have something else to eat. So the Elazar ben Tzadik says, I brought him olives. He saw that the olives I brought him were wet, and he was concerned. So now they're mukhshar lekabel tumah. Now the situation was that Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik had brought them to him in a kli cheres, where there was a concern that an ama aret might have touched the outside of the barrel and made it tumah midrabanan. Actually, when Rashi says the outside of the barrel, Mephoshim asks, an Amah Oret is not necessarily able to make a barrel, an earthenware barrel, Tomei from the outside. Okay, so one answer is maybe Midrabanan they could. Anyway, Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says that actually Rabbi Yochanan knew that Rabbi Tzadik had bought this barrel from an Amah Oret, and we learned in Chagiga that a keli that an Amah Oret makes is considered Tomei. Only during the Yom Tovim do we temporarily consider it Tahor, and this wasn't. So according to Rashi, Rabbi Yechon and Hacharoni is concerned that the olives might be tame, and according to Tosfos, he's concerned the olives are definitely tame. Omeli einani oichol reisim. So he says, I don't eat olives as an excuse because he doesn't want to eat them and have a problem with tumah v'tahara. Bossi by daitias abba. So again, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik says, I went and informed my father. You wanted me to give him olives, and now we have a problem. Omali, he tells me, Leich ve'emurloi. I know what's going on over here. He's concerned that they're mukshal kabel tumah. Leich ve'emurloi. Go and tell him, chobes nikuba hoisa. What happened was the barrel in which the olives were kept had a hole at the bottom, so that any of the juice that flows out of the olive will flow out, will drain out. And the reason why you find the olives wet now, elashas smur shmorim. What happened was that the hole accidentally got plugged up with dregs of the olives. So that's why the olives are wet, because accidentally the juice stayed inside, but not because we intended to. Namely, utnan, and we learn in a Mishnah in that connection. If you have a barrel of olives that are megugolim, megugolim Rashi explains means they're pressed tightly together in the barrel and they're ready to be pressed into olive oil. So now, is there a problem of while they're stuffed into the barrel over there, juice tends to flow out of them? So is that juice masha the makabel tumah? We know that there are shiva mashkin that are masha the kabel tumah, and one of them is oil. But over here, it's not necessarily oil; it's a sap that comes out of the olives. And more to the point, the question is: does he want that juice to remain inside? And if he doesn't, the halacha is that for fruit to be mukshal kabel tumah, it has to be that you wanted it to get wet. So therefore, if he doesn't want it to get wet, nothing happens. So Beshama says you don't have to make a hole because the juice that's coming out of the olives is not considered olive oil; it's considered may peiris, and it's not mukshal kabel tumah anyway. Or Beshilo Emim Tzrichal Anakiv. Beshilo says you do have to make a hole. Because otherwise it is considered like oil. Umoidim, but they both agree, sheim nikva, that if you did make a hole, it's a smor shmarim, and then the hole was plugged up with dregs, so therefore the liquid ended up staying inside, shehi tahora, that the olives remain tahor, because even according to Beis Hillel, the fact that you made a hole demonstrated that you didn't want the liquid to stay inside, and therefore it's not makshul, even if we consider it like oil, it's not makshul kabel tumah unless you wanted it to get wet. Tosfos actually points out there are several different kinds of sap that are relevant over here. There's one kind that everybody agrees is not makshul kabel tumah. Another kind which we're talking about over here, another kind which is when they're stuffed tightly together and then juice flows out. There you have a different machlokes tanoim, whether it's machshel kabel tumah or not. Here we're talking about that it's similar to what comes out from actually pressing the olives in the olive press, where Beis Hillel is going to say that it's machshel kabel tumah. Anyway, but if you made a hole, you demonstrated you don't want the juice to stay in there. So even Beis Hillel agrees it's not machshel kabel tumah. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzaddik tells. So Rabbi Tzaddik tells his son, Rabbi Elazar, go tell Rabbi Yechon and Acharoni that here there's no problem. The olives are wet, but it was wet by accident. Therefore, they're not machshel kabel tumah. And the Braisa finishes off. Ba'afa picha Talmud Shammai hoya. Even though this Rabbi Yechon and Acharoni was a Talmud of Shammai. Everything that he followed in halacha was according to Beis Hillel. Now, and therefore, that's why he was concerned about these olives, that according to Beis Hillel's opinion, they would be mukshal kabel tumah, and that's why Rabbi Tzaddik had to reassure him that they're not. So, if you say that normally Beis Shammai followed their opinion in halacha, then we're saying that's the chiddush. Rabbi Yechon and Acharoni did not act like the rest of Beis Shammai. He, in practice, followed Beis Hillel. Eli Amit Loy Osu, but if you say that anyway, the rest of Beis Shammai did not follow their opinion in practice, my Rabuse, then what's the Chiddush that Rabbi Yechon Acharoni always followed Beis Hillel? All of Beis Shammai always followed Beis Hillel. So that would be a proof that in fact Osu, that in fact Beis Shammai did follow their opinions as practical halacha. And the Gemara brings another, the Gemara starts bringing another proof. Toshma, Shalavas Rabbi Yeshua, Tzoras Abbas Mahu. They asked Rabbi Yeshua, what's the din in this case of Tzoras Abbas or Tzoras Erva in general? Does she have to do Yibum or Chalitza like the Shammai, or is she potter from it like the Hillel? He says, what are you asking me? Machlokas Hashama Basilo. You know that it's a machlokas. So they asked him, Bahalocha Kadibri Mi. So who's the halocha actually like? Omalahem. He says to them, Mipne Ma'at Machnisin Roshi Ben Shnei Horem Gdolim. Why are you trying to stick my head in between two big mountains? Ben Shnei Machlokas Gdolis. Between to take a side in a big machlokas. Ben Beshama Basilo. What are you asking me to take a side? Mis Yarani Shama Yerutsu Gugolti. I am afraid that they might crush my skull. In other words, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he's concerned if he paskins one way or the other, then the other group is going to get him in trouble because they're going to say, you're passeling our women and you're passeling our children. And he continues, the Braisa continues, Avalani, but Rabbi Yeshua says, I can't tell you who the halacha is like. However, I can tell you, Avalani made Lachem. However, I can give you Adus. Al Shtei Mishpachas Gdolas Jehoyah B'Yerushalayim, that there were two great families in Yerushalayim, Mishpachas Beis Tzvoyim Miben Achmoy, or Mishpachas Beis Kofoy Miben Mekoshesh. So these are the names of the families, and these are the names of the places where they were from. Shehem Bnei Tzores, their ancestry included women who had been Tzores and married without Yibum and without Chalitza, like this hero. And from those families came Kohenim Gadolim, the Shimshu Agabe HaMizbeach, who actually served on the Mizbeach. So therefore, in other words, Rabbi Yeshua is telling them, I'm not going to tell you the halacha is like Beis Hillel, but you should know that in practice, people followed Beis Hillel, and they said that these women and their children are kosher, and they can even serve as Kohenim. So let's figure out. Iyamet b'shlema osu. If you say that the Shammai followed their opinion in practice, then then you understand why Rabbi Yeshua is saying, I'm afraid to paskin halacha about it in practice, because women who followed the Shammai and actually did yibum are going to be saying, Rabbi Yeshua, what are you telling me? The halacha is like this hillel. Now you made us that we did an isur kores and our children are mamzerim, and vice versa. If we paskin like this Shammai, then the hillel is going to say, what do you mean? Now you made that these women's children are also the kahuna. So then we can understand why he's afraid. Therefore, he's saying, I'm afraid that I might get in trouble with one group or the other. But if you say that anyway, this Shammai didn't follow their opinion in practice, then what is he afraid of? Gemara says, nu, and even if this Shammai did follow their opinion in practice, my misyarani, still, what does Rabbi Yeshua have to be afraid of? Doesn't Rabbi Yeshua himself hold that a mamzer is only produced by chayv and misses based in? Unlike other tanoim, which we're going to learn later on in the fourth parak of our Masechta, unlike the other tanoim who say that it also is from chayv krisis, Rabbi Yeshua himself holds that a mamzer is only from a case where there would be misses based in. In this case, there's not, because a brother's wife is only an isur kares. So even if the woman did yibum like this Shammai, according to Rabbi Yeshua's understanding of the halacha, this hillel would say that the children are not mamzerim; they're only pogum. So what's the problem? What, even if this Shammai followed their opinion and practice, what is Rabbi Yeshua afraid of? And the answer is, nehi nami de mamzer lehavi pogum miuhavi. Granted, Rabbi Yeshua would say the child from such a thing wouldn't be a mamzer, but he would still hold that he's pogum and also to marry a kohen. Mikavachoymer me'almana. And we would say that we would make a kavachoymer from a widow. Ma almana she'ini sura noyeg bakol. Ma dach a widow, where the issue of marrying her is not equal to everybody. Only a kohen gadol is also to marry a widow. And yet, if he does marry her b'no pogum, yet if a kohen marries an almana, the child is a cholol. So then, zushi sura shava bakol chola. So then, a yevama lashuk, where the issue applies equally to everybody, then how much more so that the children would be pogum, would be chalolim. So therefore, so you could say that if this Shammai was not osu, then you're right. It seems Rabbi Yeshua has nothing to worry about of the consequences of paskin and halacha. But if this Shammai osu, if they actually followed their opinion and practice, then according to Rabbi Yeshua's own opinion, the children would be pogum, would be halalim, if their father was a kohen. According to everybody else, they would be mamzerim. And therefore, whether according to either one, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't want to take a side in the machlokes. So the Gemara continues. What's going on in the discussion over here? Kobomine Tsaris for Kaposhet Le Bnei Tsaris. First, they're asking him about the Tsara herself, whether she does Yibum or not. And what is he answering them? That I'm afraid to Paskin because of the consequences with the children. So what is it? What did they ask him about? Did they ask him whether the women themselves can get married? Or did they ask him what's the story with the children? And the answer is, Tauti Kaboimine. They're asking both questions. Number one, Tsaris Mahi. Number one, can the Tsaris themselves do Yibum or not? Is the halacha like this Shammai that they should, or like this Hillel that they should, that they must not? The Im Tim Tsaloima, Tsaris Kibis Hillel. And if you say the answer with the Tsaris themselves would be like this Hillel, they should not do Yibum and they're not required to do Chalitza, then the question is, Bnei Tsaris, the Beis Hillel, the Beis Shammai Mahu, what would Beis Shammai hold about these children of Tsaris according to Beis Shammai? Would the halacha be? Would those children be halalim or not? And the Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina." What would be if the halacha is like the Hillel anyway? Then what's the difference? Why would we care what Beis Shammai holds about the children of the Tsaris of that Beis Hillel would say he got married? The answer is lamifshet vlad machzik rushosay lebeis Hillel. The answer is that it would also tell us, according to Beis Hillel, what would be the din in the case of machzik rushosay, which we talked about the other day, when a man divorces his wife. And then she marries somebody else. Later on, he remarries her, which the Torah says he's also to do. Suppose he did that. Is there a problem with the children? Now, so in this particular case that they're asking him about, it would be fine. Beis Hillel would say the children are completely kosher anyway. The Yavama didn't do anything wrong by marrying Lashuk. But the question would be, if we say that in this case, Beis Shammai would consider the children from such a marriage, according to Beis Hillel, that Beis Shammai would consider them pogrom, then we have to know, what about the parallel case, which is also an issur lav of machzik rishosay? And the question would be, mi aminin kavachomer? Would we say that we have to say on the basis of a kavachomer that yes, and we would say, ma almona lakon gadol she'eni surah shavu v'kol b'na pogrom? Again, madachan almona, where it's not an issur that applies to everybody, only to the kohen gadol, and yet the child is pogrom, is a cholol. Zushi surah shavu v'kol. So then the machzik rishosay, the issur applies equally to everybody. Ein adin she b'na pogrom. Wouldn't it be a kavachomer that the child is pogrom? Or maybe you can slog up that kavachomer because you could say mala almana shehi atma mischalelas, because after all, the almana herself, when she marries the kohen gadol, as soon as they have relations, then she herself becomes a halala by having relations with him, and therefore, for example, she herself, not only the children are halalim, but she herself is possible to ever eat truma. As opposed to by machzik rishosay and yivama lashuk, where you don't necessarily have that. So he answers them as far as tzores. So he answers them as far as tzores misyarani. As far as the tzores themselves, I'm afraid to tell you whether the halacha is like this Shammai or Beis Hillel, because I'm afraid of the consequences. But according to Beis Hillel, the ones who married like that according to Beis Shammai would have done an issur kores, and I don't want to take a side in that. As far as bnei tzores, as far as you asking about the children, what would Beis Shammai hold about the children who married of a Yavama Lashuk, who married like Beis Hillel? So he tells them, Maid Lachem, Ani Maid Lachem, I can tell you that there were such cases in Yerushalayim, and they were considered kosher Koyanim, and even Koyanim Gadolim. So they asked him both, and he answers. One of them he evades, and the other one he gives them an answer. Okay, so we're still trying to figure out whether Beis Shammai followed their opinion in practice, and we're going to continue that discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem, including a very interesting story of a meeting between the Chachamim on the subject. Shkoyach, everyone.